Thank you, Pastor, once again for the opportunity to open the Word of God and to share last week and now this as well. And I do want to just make a quick announcement. If you were interested in working in the fair and you did not get a chance to sign up, or you maybe something cleared up in your schedule, we have a few openings on our booth, I think on Saturday and some tomorrow, and then the Amazing Grace Fair booth as well. So if you are still interested, or maybe even after the lesson tonight, you'd think you'd like to try, then just let me know, and I'd certainly be glad to talk to you afterwards about filling in those slots so that we can have that covered and we can have the presence that we believe the Lord wants to have at the fair. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 13, and I certainly enjoyed the opportunity last week to share God's word with you regarding the fact that you can make a difference in and through your life as you try to get involved in taking the gospel to people personally. And so I want to carry that message a little bit further tonight. I told you tonight would be a little bit more of the practical side of things, and hopefully you got a handout when you picked up your prayer bulletin for this evening, and that would be tried to make that in such a way that it would be advantageous to you. But Matthew chapter 13, I want to begin reading in verse number 3, and we'll jump around a little bit in here and then try to share some things that I believe can be a help to you, as that's what I want to be tonight. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 3, it says this, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. Forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root. They withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. And I want you to jump down to verse number 18. It says, Jesus' explanation of the parable to his disciples after saying several other things, said, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30." You know, if you're going to regularly give the gospel, you have to be ready to give the gospel. Right, if you're going to do it a lot of times, you have to be ready the first time. And I believe that for many of us, it is, like Pastor said, easy to fall out of the habit of giving the gospel, even if you've been in the habit of trying to engage people in gospel-oriented conversations. But I believe also it's very easy to never give the gospel to somebody personally, because we just never took the steps that we needed in our own life to get to the point where we would be comfortable taking someone and sharing with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. But like Pastor said, this is one of the things that all of us as believers should be doing. And I want to help you tonight by trying to equip you with some tools in your mind, in your heart, and in your life, so that you can be a little bit more equipped the next time an opportunity presents itself. But as I'll share with you as we come to the conclusion of the message tonight, I also want to challenge you not just to wait for opportunities to present themselves, but to look for opportunities so that you can share the gospel. And so I want to pray tonight and ask the Lord to use this lesson and just jump right in after that. Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have to look into your word. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be a help to this group of people. But Lord, I believe and I feel the weight of the responsibility. Lord, my opportunity tonight is not just to help this group, but Lord, my responsibility is to help them that this group can reach. And so, Lord, I pray for them. I pray that this group of people would be an army of people that are more equipped and ready and engaged in getting the gospel to someone else. Lord, I pray that you'd help all of us to have our souls afire, Lord, to get the message out, to reach people, to make a difference in the lives of others, as we sang just a little bit ago. Lord, use me, I pray. Use all of us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's no doubt that the parable of the sower is one that most of us in this room are likely familiar with. Jesus shares the story that we just read, and he's talking to the disciples and those that are around them that there's this idea of someone going out and doing just what we read about tonight, sowing seed, and some of it, as you know, it falls on bad ground or good, better ground or not so good ground, but ultimately the good ground, and we know all the details of the story, and tonight I'm not really going to dive into all of the facets of that story, because what Jesus was doing here was he was tapping into a much greater principle. And that's what I want to talk to you about this evening. The greater principle that Jesus was tapping into in the using of the parable of the sower is the principle of sowing and reaping. The principle of sowing and reaping is one that we find all throughout the Word of God. And we find that this principle of sowing and reaping is basically stated that when you reap what you sow, right? But you also reap after you sow, and most of the time you reap more than you sow. Because if you take a kernel of corn and you plant it in the ground, well, then you get a whole cob of corn, right? So you get more than just the one seed that you plant. But when you plant corn in the ground, you get corn, right? And so there's all kinds of things that I can say. I'm not the greatest person at actually farming. Ask Marvin. He gave me a tomato plant, and it's not really all that great looking right now. But that's okay, because I'm not talking about growing tomatoes tonight, right? And so, but we know the principle. If you plant something, you're going to get the like kind. You're going to get that thing out of it. And that's what we understand as the principle of sowing and reaping. And when Jesus talked about the sower here, there's some things in this story and even implied by this story that I want you to latch onto as you consider your own life as a life that is intended to be used by God to sow the seed of the gospel. And remember this, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, he said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. As we dive into the idea of giving the gospel out as individuals, I wanted to start by reminding you tonight that your responsibility is not to save people. It is not within your wheelhouse to get someone to actually be the means of converting a soul. That's the Spirit of God at work in the heart and the life of an individual. And so you can, maybe that you can take a little bit of the pressure off. You don't have to go into a conversation where you're sharing the gospel with someone and put all of that pressure on yourself to say, man, if I don't do it, now you've got to do your job in that particular instance, but you don't have to think, man, I've got to get this person saved and I'm not going to let them go until they are. And you put all of this pressure on you. You cannot save a soul. But you can give your part so that that soul can get closer. You can plant the seed. You can water the seeds that have already been planted. And so when you're going out and about throughout your life and you're having opportunities to put some of these things into practice, I want to remind you that no effort of yours, one, is ever wasted. No effort that you give to try to make a difference in someone's life is ever going to just be of no avail. The Bible says that God's word will not return unto him void. And so I want to challenge you just to think, even in some small ways, how can I plant the seeds of the gospel in someone else's life? Or how can I water that which may already be there? And here's the thing, you never know which one you're doing. So just do what you can do all throughout your life and try to spread the seeds of the gospel. And here's the thing, like we find in this story that we read just a few minutes ago, some of the seeds that you cast out
will fall on stony ground. Some of it will be snatched away before it ever has chance to spring up. But some of it will fall on ground that will bring forth fruit. And since we never know which one it will be, let's just do our part. And that's why I'm just so glad to be able to do this tonight, because I believe that I'm about to share with you some things that can be ways that you approach your life in a general on a general basis that will better enable you to just be seed sowers. And that's why I've entitled the message tonight, Preparing and Sharing. And tonight's all about preparing. And so we're going to look at several ways to prepare. And the first one that I want to talk to you about tonight is this, prepare yourself. When we look at how to make a difference in the lives of others, there's a lot of things that I could say about how we need to be living and all the things that we need to be doing. And I could spend the rest of the night talking about the importance of a pure life that's going to be useful in the hands of God and a vessel that is meet for the master's use. And we could get into all that. And that's all very important, because if you're trying to give the gospel to somebody and yet they know you also were telling dirty jokes just the other day, or you were bad mouthing your wife, when you're at work, or your husband, you're at work, it's going to be a lot harder for you to share the gospel with that person. But that's not what I want you to think about when we're talking about preparing ourselves tonight. There's two things I want you to consider when you prepare yourself to share the gospel. Number one, love the Lord. Love the Lord. Amen. You say, why would you say that? Well, we've all had experiences in our lives that when we got done with them, all we wanted to do was go and tell someone else about it. And it could have been some activity that was just really, really engaging, a lot of fun. Maybe you had a great vacation. You went somewhere that was really exciting. Or maybe it was a restaurant, right? And how many of you like to eat? I love eating, and my Sunday school class knows that very, very well. I love to eat, and we've all probably been to restaurants before that once we left, we had to tell someone how good the food was. Maybe you took a picture before you even left, and you sent it to somebody, maybe just to rub it in, because you know where they were was certainly not as good as dining as you were having. And then you wanted to tell them about it, how good it tasted, what you ordered, what the experience was like, and if you ever got a chance, you wanted to bring them there, or if they ever got a chance, they needed to go there. What is that? That's word of mouth advertising. And you and I know that the best advertisement is a satisfied customer. You know, if we would just fall in love with the Lord every day, afresh and anew, it would be so easy to tell people about Him. But you're like me probably. You get so busy. I mean, we read our Bibles. We all love the Lord. It's not like we don't. But if it was that fresh love that we've had at different times in our life when God just poured out His blessing and His Spirit upon us and we were so close to Him, we could just hardly stand it. It was hard not to tell people about Him. When you have that type of love for God in your life, it energizes you to go out and just, you're not going to have to try to tell people what God's done in your life. It's just going to come out. And so I tell you tonight, fall in love with God over and over and over again. Cultivate a relationship with the Lord. See what He is doing. Focus your attention upon your relationship with God. Why? Because that's what you're called to be ultimately is, like we looked at last week, Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, ye shall be witnesses. And what does that really mean? Well, the disciples broke it down for us in Acts chapter 4, verse 20. He said this, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And so they had been telling the disciples, you've got to stop talking about Jesus. And they're like, there's no way. That's not even possible. You are asking us to do an impossible task because we have to tell people what we saw. When was the last time my relationship with God was like that? That is a convicting thought for me, and I hope it is for you as well. Because that's what's going to move us to give the gospel. And if you are in love with the Lord, like the disciples were in those early days in the church, you're not going to have to try and have to do all of these little strategizing things. You don't have to have gimmicks and plans necessarily. It's just going to flow out of you. But we'll talk about some of those things as well. But when you walk with the Lord, when you love the Lord, you're also sensitized by your walk with Him to be focused on the next thing I want you to think about as you prepare yourself. We want to love the Lord. We want to love the lost. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 36, Jesus was healing people and ministering and sharing truth. And it said this, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he to his disciples, the harvest therefore is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. But what I want to remind you about tonight is that early part of those verses where Jesus saw these people that were sheep having no shepherd. They had no direction. They had no one to help them. They had no one to guide them, no one to pour into them, no one to reach them. And it moved him. When you love the Lord, you will love what he loves. And when you get to the point in your life when you go out and about and you see all this fair traffic and you're like, man alive, this is crazy. I had to leave 15 minutes early just so I'd be to church on time and still is hardly on time. And that's all true. And we all think those things. But there's a lot of people down there at the fair right now. Brother Jackson shared with me earlier today that they've had 40 people pray with them to receive Christ as their Savior at the Amazing Grace booth this week so far. And that was before tonight happened. And right now, who knows that they're not praying with someone right now at that booth. I mean, it's an exciting thing to see. When you drove past somebody on the way to church tonight, that person might be one of those people that get saved tonight. We've got to love the lost. We've got to see them like he sees them. And when we love the Lord and we're just overwhelmed by how great our God is, and we see people without him, we're just going to tell them. It's not because we think, man, these people they're so wicked and we're so much better than you. And that's not going to be the spirit of that at all, because you just want them to know the one who's made such a difference in your life. We've got to prepare ourselves. And then you've got to prepare the seed. So what do you mean? Well, you know that sower, when he went out to sow, there's a lot, like I said, implied in this, but anybody that's ever planted anything, one of the things they have to do is they've got to have seed that they know is good. They've got to get the seed. They've got to have it in the bag, and they've got to go out there or whatever they're planting it out of, and then they've got to use it, right? Well, the preparation of the seed is what I want you to think about for just a minute. We're just kind of using the parable of the sower as an illustration tonight. And so I want to give you just a couple practical reminders, and this is at the heart of what I want to share with you tonight. And we've got a few things to share right at the end. The last couple points should just kind of breeze by a little bit, but I want to encourage you to have a plan. I told you last week that not too long ago, maybe a few years ago now, somebody challenged me to have a normal way that I would share the gospel when I shared the gospel. That if there was, one, I'm always going to start in the same place. There's nothing wrong with that. You're like, oh, that's going to be overly formal and all that. That's not, if you're doing it the right way, having taken care of point number one and continuing to focus on it, that won't be as much of a struggle, but always going to start in the same place. And unless there's some derailing question that's going to get me off and have to deal with an issue, I'm going to go through the same things every time because I know I'm going to present the gospel clearly. I'm going to present the gospel completely. And then when we get done, I'm going to end up in a place that I know how to transition into trying to help them to make a decision with the information that I've given them. So you want to have a plan, but you want to avoid extremes. There are some people when they share the gospel, if you've ever heard somebody do it, you know what I'm talking about. They can be, one, overly complicated. And their presentation of the gospel is more fit for a theological discussion between mature believers than it is a presentation of the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't do that. Don't. You don't have to give them all the big flowery terms that you've spent most of your saved life learning. And then still, sometimes when people say them, you're just like, I really don't remember what that even means. But I can kind of go along with the conversation. They can't. And don't lose them by overcomplicating it. But also, don't make it so simple that it's not the gospel. You say, can you do that? You can do that. Where it's just trite explanations and repetition, like, hey, let's pray this prayer, we're done. You're saved. And they're like, well, I'm saved. What did I get saved from? You've got to actually get the gospel to them. You've got to explain it to them. They have to understand that they're putting their faith in Jesus and he died for their sins and all of that. And so the best way to avoid these extremes is, like I said, plan a clear but simple presentation of the gospel. And I gave you in your notes tonight where I would go if I was giving the gospel to somebody. And so I want to, over the next few minutes, just want to go over that with you. Because if I sat down with someone, if they came up here at the end of a service and they were asking questions that made it clear that maybe the message was one that didn't necessarily focus on the gospel, and so I was going to have to go through the whole thing, unlike maybe like Brother Paulie did on Sunday, and he led them right through it, right to the end of it. And so I'm going to maybe be up here, or I'm at their door, I'm at the fair, and I'm sharing the gospel with someone, the first thing I would do is take them to John chapter 3, verse 16. And I would tell them that God loves them. So the first thing you need to know, I'd tell somebody, is that God loves you. That God loves you so much that he proved that by sending his son. Now, I'm going to go over it quicker than I would with someone, but that he sent his son, Jesus, into the world for you, so that you would not have to perish. You see, when you talk to someone, it's important to lay the foundation that God loves them, because you don't know where in the world they're coming from. But you're going to have to fall back on that here in just a second, because after you tell them about the love of God, this is what I always tell people when I'm sharing the gospel with them. Now, when you love someone, you tell them the truth, don't you? And everybody pretty much will agree with that statement. Yeah, when you love someone, you tell them the truth. So, well, that's what God does too. God loves you, so he tells you the truth. And there's some unfortunate truths that we have to confront. And the first one is we have to realize that we are sinners. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And explain to someone what sin is. Sin is anything that we do that violates the commands of God. Sin is that which falls short of God's standard of perfection. And I'll elaborate for them just very briefly and very simply that sin is anything in their life that is something that has broken a command of God. And you can list out several. You ever lied, you've ever stolen, you ever had an angry thought or a lustful thought. I mean, there's any number of things. You can kind of sense the spirit of the conversation, but define for them sin. And you want to say these things in such a way that as you share the gospel with someone, you're driving to a point, and that point is that they would accept their sinfulness. Okay, they have to confess to the Lord that they are sinners in need of salvation. If you don't get them to that point, they're not going to need to get saved in their mind. So you've got to get them lost, if you've probably heard somebody say before you can see them saved. So you've got to explain to them sin and drive that point home, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But that's not the only thing the Bible tells us about sin, I would tell them. The Bible also says that sin has a consequence. And we know that from life. All actions have results, consequences, good or bad. And so does sin. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23 tells us that the wages of sin, the payment, that's what wages are, right? Wages are what I tell people is wages are what we get for what we've done. So when I was a teenager, I was a roofer from when I was 14 to when I was 18, and I made $10 an hour. So if I worked, now there was taxes and all that kind of stuff, but and just for simplicity's sake, I'd say, so if I worked for 10 hours, then I would earn $100. That's my wages. That's what I get for what I did. If my boss paid me less than that, then he robbed me of what I deserved. If he paid me more than that, I wouldn't have told him. But you've got wages. We understand. It's what we get for what we've done. the wages or what we get for what we've done, our sin, is death.
Then explain to them what death is. Death is not just the fact that all people will die. Now, that is a consequence of sin. But ultimately, we will experience eternal death because of our sin, which is a separation from God for all of eternity. Because God cannot let sin into his presence. God will not let sin into his presence because his standard, his glory, his standard is perfection. And so the wages, the payment, what we get for what we've done is death. But there is good news. It's the rest of that verse, Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So how can we have eternal life instead of eternal death? That would be the question that I would pose to them and tell them the answer to. And the next verse I would take them to is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. You can turn to some of these if you haven't been as we've been going. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 is probably one of my favorite verses on sharing the gospel in the Bible. And it just breaks it down, makes it so simple and clear. It says this, "For he hath made him," he is God, "hath made him," which is Jesus, "to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And so I would tell people that Jesus took their sin on himself. Jesus, it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, I didn't give that one, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the wages of sin is death. And I always make this statement as I share the gospel. The wages of payment for sin is death. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, he knew no sin. He didn't sin. Jesus never did sin. He never could have sinned because he was God in the flesh. But he died. Why would he die? Because he took your sin on him. He died for your sin. Jesus never sinned and he died. You sinned and you deserve to die. And he did what he did so you would not have to do what you deserve to do. Explain to them how he took their place. That's what that verse is all about. His substitution for them on the cross. And it's at that moment that I would take the time to explain to someone as I shared the gospel with them the story of the crucifixion, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he died for their sins. He was buried, laying that broken body that took the sins of the world upon it in the grave, and it laid there and proved that he died for sure, and that all of that was completed, and then he rose again from the grave 3 days later. Do not share the gospel without telling people that Jesus is still is no longer in the grave, right? You got to tell them he rose up from the grave. He accomplished what he intended to accomplish, and he proved that he won over sin, death, hell, and the grave. He's alive. And he lives forevermore. And so today, he has something to offer you. See, because the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you cannot give what you do not have. And Jesus has life eternal, and he has it to give. You know what I would do next? I would tell people, imagine we were in a room with four doors. And we were sitting in a chair in the middle of the room. You knew where the doors were at. The doors were not locked. There was nothing in your way on either side of the door of getting out. Now imagine that the room is on fire. You know where the doors are. You know how to get out of the room. But if you sit in that room while that room burns down around you, you will die. Knowing how to get out does you no good unless you act upon the knowledge. If you know what we just talked about,
If you understand, you say, yeah, Daniel, I understand that. I understand Jesus, God loves me. Jesus, I'm a sinner. My sin deserves to be and needs to be paid for, but Jesus paid for my sin when he died and was buried and rose again. I understand all that. And you just walk away. You will die in your sins and you'll go to hell. Just knowing the facts is not enough. And so the Bible tells us what to do with the facts. And now take him to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In Romans 10, 13, just a couple verses later, I'd read them all together. I'd say, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I would explain to them what the Bible tells us here. Is that when you understand that you deserve this penalty of death, but that Jesus offers to take your place, it's a very simple step to then put your faith in it by doing what Romans 10, 13 says. 9 and 10, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. That's saying, God, I believed in Jesus and what he did and who he is. And I'm calling out to you in my heart. They do not have to call out audibly. They do not have to even pray a prayer per se. But I always encourage people to, because it gives them an anchor point for the decision that they're making. And so if I'm talking with someone, I'm going to lead them in that step to say, the only thing that you have to do is believing in your heart, call out to God. And a call is very simply a prayer. Call out to God and ask him to save you. And at that point, as we lead to a decision, if you're talking with someone, that's when you have to be super sensitive. Now, the facts of the gospel, they do not change. The story of the gospel does not change. But you want to watch that person, and you want to listen to their responses. And you want to make sure they get it. Don't just be like, okay, let's pray this prayer, and you'll be good. You want to ask them, is there anything that would keep you from making a decision like that today? Is that a decision that you believe that you need to make? Have you prayed a prayer like that before? You want to know. You want to take your time with someone. You don't want to hurry up and rush through it just because you want to be done with it. This is their eternal soul, and you want to deal with them. And if you deal with them thoroughly up front, it can really help them for years and years to come. But you want to just ask them the question. But you also don't want to make it so difficult in that moment that they don't make the decision that they very easily could make if you've gotten to that point and they have agreed with you and they acknowledge all of those things, but they say, nope, never prayed that prayer before. I've never done that before. Well, would you like to do that right now? And then offer to lead them in a prayer if you'd like to. And some people like to do that. Some people like to encourage them to pray themselves. It really doesn't matter in the end, because it's not the words that save them. And so you just lead them down that path. And I'm telling you tonight, we're just about done for this evening. Everybody in this room could do what I just did. You could probably do, many of you probably could do it better than I could. And one, it's going to be a whole lot easier when you're talking to one person, not however many this is, right? Because you're engaging them in the gospel story. And you're telling them what the gospel is. But make sure you have in your mind these truths. And what I'd encourage you to do, if you've never led somebody to the Lord personally in your life, I want to encourage you, as we close here tonight, to begin to pray that God would let you. And to prepare for it. How do you prepare for it? Well, take the verses I just gave you, put them in your Bible. One great thing that I was encouraged to do very early on, and I still have Bibles that it is in, is to write in the front cover somewhere, one of the first few pages, the first reference, not that most people probably need help remembering John 3:16, but, and then at the bottom of the page or right there in the margin next to John 3:16, write the reference to the next verse. And so on and so forth. And if you've never done that in one of your Bibles before, I'd encourage you to do that as you try to get to that point where you'd be able to share the gospel with someone. It's hard to remember sometimes even in the moment, even if you've done it many, many, many times. So don't rely on your memory. because you don't want to get to that point and be like, well, I'd tell you the next thing, but I don't remember it. And so, you know, just get yourself a little bit of a help to get there, a little cheat sheet along the way, and then you can get them from one point to the next as you share the gospel. But pray that God would allow you, if everybody in this room would begin praying or continue praying, because I assume many already are, that God would let you lead people to Christ. He will answer that prayer. And it will, one thing that it will necessitate, those that we're ready. And so my final two points, I'm going to just rattle them off for you tonight. I want to encourage you, prepare the soil by cultivating relationships. You have relationships with people that you probably could share the gospel in right now. Or if you just work at it a little bit, you could get it to that point. Someone you work with, someone you know, someone in your family. And if you get to the point where you're like, I don't know who I'm really like working on right now that I could give the gospel to, find some, right? Get a list of people that you're praying for. And there's a lot that we could say about cultivating. Well, you could call it a prospect list. You could call it a sweetheart list. You could call it whatever. But get a list of people that you're praying that you'd see them saved, and then work in that direction. And then the next thing, participate in sowing. All right, see the fields. So what do you mean? You know, most people who come to church come because someone they personally know invited them to church. And most people that get saved because someone they personally know led them to Christ. That means that most of the visitors that are going to come to this church in the coming months and weeks and years are going to be people that we already know. That means we've got to engage them in those conversations. And the people that get saved are going to be people that we already know or that we get to know. So who in your circle right now needs the gospel? That's our job to identify. And if no one, you're like, well, most everybody I know is saved. Then that's the next thing. Find some who aren't. Get out there. That's why we go out. I mean, that's why we go out on Saturday, that first Saturday of the month. We try to have a breakfast and we go out into the community, because here's the thing. Christians have a great danger that we just come here, and the longer you go to one church, the more Christians you know, and the more the number of lost people you know kind of goes down, and you've got to work at it all the time. And so we want to see the fields. We want to subdue our fear. You know, most of the reason why most people in this room won't share the gospel with someone else is they're afraid to. You're afraid of the response. You're afraid somebody's going to ask you a question you don't know the answer to. And you know what happens when somebody asks you a question you don't know the answer to? Just tell them you don't know and that you'll get an answer. It's really easy. I mean, you don't have to know everything just to share the gospel with someone. And then just come and ask Pastor, because he has all the answers. That's how I approach life. Or ask somebody, hey, I don't know the answer to this question. It was hard. And we'll try to help you. He'll try to help you. Someone will. But don't be afraid. And one way to not be afraid is just get out there and do it. This next Saturday, not that coming Saturday, but the next time that we have a Saturday outreach time, be there. And we are not going to give you a map and some tracks and say, all right, come back with someone saved and send you out by yourself. We'll put you with someone that knows they've done it before, and you're not going to be on your own. But you've got to overcome the fear. And I don't mean to say that our organized program of door knocking and going out like that is just practice. But you know that it really does help if you take some time and you just get involved in it. And in a sense, it is. The people that you know, you might be like, I might only have one opportunity to share the gospel with my brother or my whoever. And I'm not even sure what I would say. And I've been praying for him for a long time. Well, just start coming on Saturdays, and God might give you the opportunity to get your feet wet a little bit. But whatever you do, I just want to encourage you, the best thing to do when it comes down to it, you all know the gospel. You know from these things, and you probably knew before you came tonight, many of you, what to do. Let's do it. Let's take the step. Let's say, okay, Brother Daniel, I'm going to start praying. I get to lead somebody to the Lord. I'm going to seek for opportunities to share my faith with someone else.
And you will never forget the people that God allows you to make a difference in their lives. I remember the first person I led to the Lord, myself. I was the only person to talk to him, and they got saved. And I was in college. I was in Los Angeles, and we were knocking on doors, passing out information to in Jewish communities. And this lady walked up to us on the street. She was walking her dog, and her name was Amanda Nunez. And she let us talk with her, and I got to lead her to Christ right there on the sidewalk. I've never seen her again. But I believed in that moment that she had genuinely put her faith in Jesus Christ. And you get to think about the fact that I don't know where she's at. I hope she's walking with the Lord. And there's so many other people we could look at and think about. But I want you to have stories of people that your life has touched. That's why I wanted to share this. We want to make it doable, because it is. But we've got to get ready so that we can do it. And I hope tonight has been a little bit of a help, and I've gone longer than I should have. Sorry, Pastor. But we want to get these things out to you as we go, so that we can make sure as a church we're engaging people with the gospel message. Let's all close our eyes and bow our heads. We're going to have just a brief time of invitation as the instruments begin to play. I want to encourage you tonight to think about who it is that God wants you to share the gospel with. I want you to make some decisions tonight. Maybe it's a decision to say, you know what, I've never prepared my own plan to share the gospel. I've never gone through and written out John 3:16, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, you know, next to each verse in the margin as I went through a gospel plan. And I wouldn't have known where to turn one after another. But I'm going to prepare myself so that I can be ready next time. Or I'm going to put the notes in my phone so that they're right there on my phone in case I don't have my Bible with me. Maybe it's that decision that you need to make. But maybe, like I said a little bit ago, it's just a decision to make that you just need to say, I'm going to start praying that God would use me, that God would let me lead someone to Christ in my life. Let's all stand together. If there's something you need to pray about here at the altar is open. You can come. We'll pray here in just a moment to close the invitation. But whatever decision you need to make with the gospel, I want to encourage you to make it in your life so that God can use you. Like I said at the opening of the message, if you're going to ever be giving the gospel to people regularly, you just have to get ready. And if you get your life ready, rest assured, God will use you. And what a wonderful, wonderful joy that will be. Father, I thank you so much for the time that we've had together tonight. Thank you that you've changed our lives with the gospel. Lord, I do want to pray tonight that you'd help our church, help me to be engaging people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, praise the Lord. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful message and presentation. Brother Daniel, thank you for that. And I'm convicted. I prayed here at the altar that that I would be more diligent. You say, Pastor, you ought to do it all the time. You're right, I should. But many, many times I pass by because you kind of excuse it. You figure they're busy or you're busy or whatnot. So thank you, Brother Daniel, for that. And I want to challenge you as he did, and that is this. If you're not comfortable, most of the time we're not comfortable when we don't know it enough. So take this as a challenge. Do some homework. Do some Bible homework over the next week or so. Write it out. And you say, I don't know who I'd tell it to. Well, don't worry about that part. Tell God you bring somebody my way. Thank you, Brother Daniel. Appreciate that. And what a wonderful, wonderful joy. Let me give you this last announcement. We had our discovery class whereby Brother Bobby Brown and some other folks had helped him. But headed up a 3 or 4 week class to let people know more about Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We are planning another one starting on September the 8th, so 2 weeks from Sunday, September the 8th, 15th, 22nd, for the 3 weeks of class, and those that just lets you know more about Buffalo Ridge. It's doctrinal stand, but then it's also its culture and just how you can know a little bit more about it, how to get involved, what some things are. You can be a member. You don't have to be a member. It doesn't matter a bit. Starts at 9:45, just a little bit before the Sunday school hour, and goes for the Sunday school hour. They have breakfast provided, and so Brother Bobby will be back in the lobby. Amy and I will be back there as well, but Bobby will be back there if you'd like to get some more information or you'd like to sign up for those 3 weeks. We had several folks that said they couldn't come the last time because of schedule, but you maybe can come this 8th, 15th, and 22nd of September. We'd love to have you there. We want to get everybody connected, and I believe this is a great way to do just that. So thank you so much. And then Brother Daniel will be back in the lobby as well. If you'd like to help, not because of this message or not because of this message, if you'd like to give a couple hours over at the fair, we'd love to have you sign up and love to get you getting the gospel to some people or work in the Buffalo Ridge table. And that one is not quite as aggressive as far as the gospel goes, but we're giving gospel out at that as well through gospel tracts. So you can see Daniel and get some more information about that. Well, no, you can't. You're going to be at the bus meeting. So I'll be out there. If you want some information, you get it from me. And then if you're a bus worker, you'll be down in the blue room, and he'll meet with you very briefly about that. So thank you so much for being in church. God bless you. You are dismissed. Amen. Good job.